Well, praise the Lord. I'll tell you, the music has sure been good tonight. It always is, but just really special tonight. Beautiful song. Thank you, ensemble. And what a blessing. Well, we're in Nehemiah, going through the book of Nehemiah, and we are in Nehemiah chapter 6. And I warned you about Nehemiah chapter 6. We thought we were in Nehemiah 4 for a long time. Well, we're in Nehemiah 6, and believe it or not, verse 3 again. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3. And a lot of preaching in Nehemiah 6. There's just a lot of things to look at. And Nehemiah 6 and verse 3. Last week, I preached on the great work. And Nehemiah said, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. And but then he goes on and he says, so that I cannot come down. So last week, we talk about a great work. Tonight, we talk about I cannot come down. And Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need tonight. I do thank you for the beautiful music tonight. Thank you for the time and effort, the practice, the lives that are represented by the songs that were sung here tonight. And I pray that you will use it to prepare us now to hear your word. Please speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you remember the story, of course. Nehemiah is very, very busy. God has put in his heart to build the wall around Jerusalem. And it's an unbelievable job that he's doing, but it's getting done. It's almost done. As we came to chapter 6, we found that really the wall had been built, but there was still a breach in the gate. The door had not been set up yet. And now the wall's built, but Satan's not done. Satan's crowd's not finished. They're constantly trying to stop the work. Can't stop the wall. The wall's built. But they can still stop the work. And so how dare they come to the door? And we talked about that just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not going to re-preach that. But then in verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Oh, no. Very good. But they thought to do me mischief. And, I'll tell you what, Satan is always trying to do that. And Nehemiah knew. You know, he knew what they were up to. Sad we don't always know that, isn't it? It's sad that we don't, I mean, we should know it, but we got our head in the sand and we don't know it. Or we kind of like going to Ono. Oh, no. That's what you need to say every time the devil tries to get you off and away from the work you're supposed to do. Some of you college students need to look out, because I got news for you. The devil's going to try to get you to go down to Ono. Oh, no. That's what you need to say. You need to say that. I'm telling you. By the way, how many students, this is your last Sunday before you go off to college? How many? Is there any like that? There are several. Quite a few like that, all right? And then if this one is not the last one, then the next one will be the last one. Is that right, Robert? All right. So by next Sunday, after next Sunday service, after Labor Day, all of our college students, I count 28 college students. Now, some are still here. They'll be here in this area, but going locally. But 28 college students who are making crucial decisions in their lives and trying to decide the Lord's will and what they're going to do with their lives. I'll tell you what, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, you built a wall of 12 years of school, and now you're trying to build another wall and trying to maybe get those doors on the gate or however you want to put that. They're going to do everything they can to get you off track. And as I talked last week about a great work, I'm telling you, to finish, as Tyler received his Thompson Chain Reference Bible, to finish college, that's an awesome thing. That's a great thing. Now to go on and do what God wants you to do, that's the next step. And praise the Lord for that. But there will always be those trying to get you off into some other area, any other area except that which God wants you to do. But Nehemiah, he had that under control, because he said, I cannot come down. Do you understand? Anytime you leave the will of God, it's a trip down. Amen. Anytime you walk away from what you're supposed to be doing, that is a trip down. Anytime you depart from the path that God has put you on. We talk about this on Wednesday night, talking about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But the next verse says, though he fall. Because we do fall. We all fall. Every now and then we trip and fall. But the whole thing is, get up and just keep going on that path. Nehemiah just simply, and I love the way he says that, and I just couldn't skip past it. He said, I cannot come down. I just cannot come down. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Now, you ought to underline, I'm doing a great work, but you also ought to underline, I cannot come down. I just can't come down. You see, the great work, your life, as far as your spiritual growth, I as long as I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, you just keep going, pressing toward that higher ground, decide, I cannot come down. I got something more important. I got a place I'm headed to. I cannot come down. I'm trying to grow to be what God wants me to be. I'm trying to learn so that I can do what God wants me to do. I'm trying to walk with God so that I can have the power of God on my life so I can do the things that God has prepared me. Hey, you're here for a reason. I cannot come down from that reason. I've got to keep going. Your home is a great work, as we talked last week. And you ought to decide, Dad, I cannot come down. I will not come down from the standards that I have in my home. I will not. I will continue to rise in my home. I will continue to up the spirituality of my home. I will continue to raise the standard in my home. I cannot come down. We ought to decide in our church, and you ought to decide as far as your church is concerned, I cannot come down. Things are happening. Something's happening in my life. So I cannot come down. It is not possible. I cannot do it. There are so many great works. And I think of college students again. Some will start college for the first time. Others will go back and they sort of dread that. And yet others they're excited. But after about a week, they'll dread it. And all those kind of things are happening. You need to get these words in your heart, college student. I cannot, I cannot, I cannot come down. I'm just going to keep going up. Amen. And here, as we very, very clearly see, the wall is Nehemiah's priority. Nehemiah is consumed with this wall. And it's an amazing thing, the building of this wall, as we've already seen. The Bible says in chapter 6 and verse 15, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. I mean, it's amazing building of this wall. But the reason that that wall was finished in 52 days was because one man stood up and said, I cannot come down. He didn't say it just this time. Many things pulled at him. Many times they tried to put him in fear. Many times they tried to put the people in fear. But they decided, look, we have something more important. We cannot come down. And you know what? He wouldn't even consider it. Not even consider it. Now again, we looked at this a couple weeks ago. They thought he knew they were after him. These are the bad guys. Don't ever be shocked when the bad guys try to get your attention and try to lure you and try to tempt you away. They're always going to do that because they can't defeat you. We are more than conquerors. But they can try all these kind of things. Nehemiah said, oh, that isn't going to work. I cannot come down. He wouldn't even consider it. Let me just say this to you. As soon as you start to consider, oh, no. As soon as you start to consider it, you are one step from doing it. Now, you know, if I'm telling you, if Nehemiah would have got on MapQuest to just see how long it would take. Are you all listening? Yes, sir. If he would have done a little search on the motels there. You know, if he'd have got on there and started kind of thinking, well, you know, I might be able to squeeze it in here. Let me tell you, he's only one step away from going down. You say, well, what's the big deal? Because he said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it? He recognized that something was not going to get done if he left. Something would not get done. And he said, I'm doing a great work and it's not going to get done if I go. I cannot come down. And as soon as you start to think of coming down, you're just a step away. See, Nehemiah, the reason he didn't MapQuest, oh no, is because his work consumed his thoughts. The work, the job, the greatness of it all, it consumed his mind and his heart. And he just, I mean, as soon as the temptation came, he said, I can't. I just can't do it. I cannot come down. You know, down in the Bible means something. And often it is a direction. But we all know what the direction down usually means. And I just looked up some verses and thought about this, and certainly it's no accident that these verses are used in conjunction with down. And there's several things that that down we can see in the Bible, and it means something. First of all, a sidetrack will lead you down. A sidetrack will lead you down. Right here is a perfect example of a sidetrack. It is, you know, now we know they thought to do me mischief, and we know they're trying to do him wrong, and we know that if he goes there, probably they're going to kill him. But literally what is happening is they're trying to get him away so that he does not get the work done. He says, if I leave, the work ceases. And he identifies that with coming down. If the work ceases, then I come down and my project is down and the job is down and the work is down and the thing happening is no longer and the goal that I had and the vision that I saw, it is down. Everything comes down. That's how he looked at it. It was a sidetrack. It's like somebody letting something sidetrack them from coming to church. It's like if you let some TV show sidetrack you from coming to church. In other words, you took a different way. And instead of coming to church, you skip church or you skip Sunday school or you skip something that is you're supposed to be at. You skip college or you quit your bus route or something like that. Money will pull them from serving God. So many money will pull them from doing what God wants them to do. I got a phone call, and it just ties in with this so well. I'm sorry, my wife got a phone call last night and talked to someone that years ago, 20 to 25 years ago, I led this man and his wife to the Lord in our living room. And this couple came and they had visited our church and we invited them over. And that fella, I remember both of them trusting Christ as Savior. And this fella was so excited about God. He was so excited about serving the Lord. And I remember so clearly how much of his family had prayed for him. They had begged God that he would get saved and had talked to us. And finally, they got him to visit. Finally, we got him in our home. Finally, he got saved. He got baptized. He started helping out in the church and working and serving God. But then a scorner got a hold of him. And a scorner got a hold of him and started saying negative things to him about the church. And started, hey, be careful who you talk to and what you say. And I believe still with all my heart that scorner is accountable to God for those days. Because I remember it very clearly. And I remember as this scorner started hanging around him and talking to him, how that guy started missing things. And all of a sudden he's not in Sunday school anymore. And all of a sudden he's now missing Wednesday night services. It was Thursday night services. And all of a sudden on the work day he wasn't there working. And pretty soon he was missing on Sunday mornings, and it wasn't long after that he didn't come to church at all. And in fact, he was very bitter toward the church. And you know, bitterness toward a church, it doesn't take long, and you become bitter towards God. And that man got totally out of church. He and his wife got a divorce. The children were still in our Christian school, but eventually some of them, their lives got all messed up. But that man went on and lived a very, very reckless life. And my wife got a call yesterday from his daughter. And by the way, this guy, this has been probably 20 years ago anyway that he got out of church and everything. But his daughter called and said, you need to pray for my dad. Said he has cancer now. And the cancer is in his brain and in his throat and in his lungs. And I'm going to guess, I'm not sure how old he is, but I'm sure he's not 50 yet. And this man has cancer, and she said this, she said he wanted to make sure Pastor Rogers knew that he remembers when he got saved, and he's saved, but he wants Pastor Rogers to do his funeral when it happens soon. I'm just saying that man got sidetracked. Now, he might have got cancer anyway, I'm not saying the cancer, but I'm just saying 20 years wasted. Because He wasn't strong enough as a Christian to be able to say, I cannot come down to that level. By the way, scorning is a level right at Satan's level. Amen. It is. It really is. And you know what? When people start to gripe and complain about your church or about God or about the things of God or about a teacher or whatever it might be, you know what? You need to say, I cannot come down to that level. I can't do it. It'll ruin me. It will ruin you. It will. When gossip starts, it'll ruin you. You need to just say, I cannot, I will not come down to that. And you know, these sidetracks, they'll get us down. You know, somebody will call you over to the side. Well, you know, what'd you think of that? And what, you know, you need to just say, I cannot come down. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't want to listen to it. You know, people will constantly pull on us and oh, did you hear about so-and-so? I can't come down to that. He said, well, they're going to be hurt. You're going to be hurt. You need to stand. You don't have to call them a gossip, though they are. You don't have to call them a scorner, though they are. Just say, hey, I cannot come down. Better yet, say, oh, no. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Let's practice, all right? Tim, did you hear about Kelvin? Can anybody keep books? No. Kelvin, did you hear about Tim?
Oh, no.
There you go. Perfect. See, that's what you need to do. See, you know, and then I'm going to think, wow, he's on to me. I guess we better talk about spiritual things. Amen? Like Golden Corral and amen. See? That's a sidetrack too. You better look out. That was a sneak attack. That's another place you better say that. All right. But anyway, we get sidetracked from so many things. You know, churches get sidetracked and get sidetracked and go, you know, from soul winning to social things. Easy sidetrack. It's an easy sidetrack. You know, well, you know, this soul winning thing, it's not working. Look, whether it works or whether it doesn't is not the issue. God said to do it. You know, it's not something that you have to analyze and scrutinize. And God just said, do it. We're supposed to do it. We don't have to try to figure it out. And boy, we've got people today that are into this social gospel kind of thing. And all it is a sidetrack. That's all it is. Satan has pulled people away from the main thing, and that's winning souls to Jesus Christ. How about this? Another sidetrack. Popularity versus the truth. Huge, huge. I mean, some of the biggest churches today, it's because we want to be popular and we will sacrifice the truth in order to be popular. It's a sidetrack. That's all it is. Oh, by the way, here's another sidetrack. It's hating sin causing you to hate sinners. I am grieved to death over the fact that God's people are so hateful towards sinners. Nowhere is that in the Bible. Nowhere is that supposed to be. I mean, we should hate sin, but Satan would love for us to channel that into hating sinners. Boy, and we see it today. I mean, it is unbelievable. In fact, Jonah, look at Jonah 1. It's no accident that the Bible says about Jonah. Does anybody know where he went? Yeah. Yeah, you don't even have to turn there. He went down. He went down to Joppa. He went down. Why does it say he went down? Well, because down is always the wrong direction in the Scripture. It seems to always go along with this. And Jonah's problem, Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with him into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But you know what the whole issue was? God told him to go to Nineveh and preach against it, but he hated the Ninevites. Well, I don't want to preach to the Ninevites. They're heathens. And what better revival could take place? What better soul winning could take place than among heathens? I mean, that was his whole problem. You know, when he finally got spit out by the whale and finally went and did what he was supposed to do, he still wanted God to kill the Ninevites. What was his problem? His problem was he got sidetracked by hating sin, and it became a hatred of sinners. Oh, listen to me. I am not happy with abortionists, and I'm not happy with homosexuality, and I'm not happy with a lot of these things. But folks, you got to understand, those people need to be saved. People need Jesus Christ. And we have got to stay with the main thing, that is loving sinners, hating sin, preaching hard against it, doing right, trying to win souls, and not get sidetracked, because Satan will sidetrack us. And you know, here's the thing. It is always a downward trend when we leave and the work ceases. Oh, it's always a bad deal when we leave. Churches leaving the bus ministry, that's downhill. It's downhill. I don't care how much fuel costs. It's downhill. We'll shut off the lights before we shut down the bus ministry. Honestly, you know, we don't always have to have lights. Most of you don't look at your Bible anyway. Well, oh no. But it's a downward trend. Anytime we leave and the work ceases. Many have left soul winning. Many have left the name Baptist. What is so wrong with the name Baptist? Hello. Well, you know, we want to change it to a community church. Oh, brother. You know, here's another thing. We can actually get sidetracked from the work for good things. You remember years ago, Moral Majority. You know, those churches, many of those are shut down today. And it was a good, I mean, Moral Majority, that wasn't a bad thing. But it was, they left the main thing to go to a good thing. And the main thing is always better than the good thing. Amen. Amen. And we've got folks all the time. I had a guy, I told you about the guy when I was in Flint. And a fella, when the Y2K was approaching, and he came to me, he was very, very serious. He said, "Preacher, you getting the buses ready?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You getting the buses ready?" I said, "Getting the buses ready for what?" He said, "Well," he said, "we're going to need some metal plating on those buses." I said, "We're going to need what?" He said, "Yeah," and he says, you need to get all of our supplies in the buses." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, that's what the buses are for, isn't it?" I said, we use the buses to pick up little kids and bring them." Well, he said, "We got to take the buses up to Canada in the wilderness." He said, "I'm a survivalist." I said, "Yeah," you know, and I looked at him anyway. But, oh, if only you knew. And I got to be careful because some do. But the whites are here. And anyway, this guy, I said, "What are you talking to me?" He said, "Y2K." And by the way, at that time, I hadn't really thought a whole lot about it. But he said, "Everything's going to go. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be bad. And we're going to have to run." He was serious. I mean, he really was serious. I said, you want us to fill up all our buses with water and canned goods and all that kind of... He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "We've got to do it. And we've got to head north." He said, "I'm a trapper." I said, "We're going to trap for our food?" He said, "Yeah, yeah." He says, "That's how the whole church, we all need to go." I just got, you know, and he was serious as he could be. In fact, he left the church because I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to ask how many of you had your bathtubs full of water that night. That was your last water. But anyway, you have to be so careful. There's all kinds, we talk about it this morning, the conspiracy theories. And there is a conspiracy. We already know that. The devil hates us. All right? And there is no question about that. But honestly, when you spend all your time over all these codes, and do you know there's a code for everything? You know, the secret code. You could take anybody's name, come up with a secret code, and spell the devil. I mean, you come up with a secret code, and you can spell, and have numbers and everything. You can come up with 666 with your name. You just make the code. And I'm just saying, there may be some of that stuff, and there may be all kinds, and the Antichrist may be here tonight. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know what? We've got to keep doing the main thing. We're not going to get off on a tangent, and we're not going to get off searching into all these things. I spent 1 week of my life dealing with a demon-possessed person. I'm sorry, I've spent 2 weeks of my life. I spent my first week, and I'm telling you, I'm not a demon buster. And I don't want to be a demon buster. Now, if a demon comes and we got to deal with it, bless God, we're going to deal with it. But I don't want to know about your Aunt Frida who lives in such and such town. "Pastor, would you go bust the demons?" No. Why? I got stuff to do. I can't come down and be sidetracked from demon busting. By the way, one guy that was with me that 1 week, the first week of demon busting, and the guy that was with me, he not only stayed in that thing, he got involved in that thing, he changed his name from Baptist to some kind of community thing, lost all of his kids as far as I know, and I believe his marriage is in pretty big trouble right now. And he was an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist evangelist, one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard, and today he's nothing. You know why? Because you get sidetracked and you're headed down. You stay with the main thing. That's why I don't say a lot about politics. I am as proud can be of John Poor, our church member, a man in this church who we need to pray for, and the position that he has. I think that is absolutely wonderful. And I'm so excited, I can't hardly stand it how God put all that together. But I'm not going to be involved in all kinds of politics and stuff. Why? That's not the main thing. Now, that's his job, and for him, that's what he has to do. And it may be your job, too. But I'm just saying, we've got the main thing going on. You know, people say, well, preacher, you're going to bring in, you know, some of these candidates and all that, you know. And I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, but I'd rather have an old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preacher get up and preach than to have somebody come up and lie to us. Amen. By the way, when you tell one crowd one thing and you tell another crowd another thing, isn't there a lie going on somewhere? Help me out just a little. I mean, if you can't tell every crowd the same thing, then somewhere along the line, you're lying. So see, be careful. And now that's the most politics. But I'm just saying, don't get sidetracked, folks. There's all kinds of good things that will pull on you. There's all kinds of good jobs, Jonathan, that'll pull on you. You just keep going. And when the devil pulls, you say, I cannot come down. And somebody will offer, oh, you know, hey, we'd like you to come and lead singing at our church because you're a pretty good guy. You just say, I cannot come down. I got something to do. When I finish it, then you want to give me the big bucks, I'll come. But you don't have to have the big bucks. But, you know, you can't come down. Because it is down if it's not what God said to do. Amen. Amen. Number two, sin leads you down. Not only does the sidetrack lead you down, but sin leads us down. Look at Judges 14. Who's that story about? Somebody tell me. Who? Samson. That's exactly right. Because it starts off chapter 14, verse 1, and Samson went down. And he went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he went down. He went to the wrong place. The wrong place. Often the wrong place is down. I should say always the wrong place is down. But often a place is down because it's the wrong place. Timnath was the place of the Philistines. And the Philistines were not his people. They were the enemy. Here we go again. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. Hey, Nehemiah. Hey, we want to take you out to dinner, buddy. Come on, we're having a party. Nehemiah said, you got to be kidding. They thought to do me mischief. He knew. They not only thought it, they had it all planned. So Samson, what are you doing going down to Timnath? Sin. And you know what? The wrong place is sin. If you're in the wrong place, you're in sin. You're headed for trouble. Ask Peter about that. He was in the wrong place before Jesus was crucified. And he denied Jesus because he was in the wrong place. By the way, he also was with the wrong people. Just as Samson was here in verse 7. Notice what it says. The Bible says that, and he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. And there he's not only in the wrong place, he's with the wrong person. And the wrong person will get you in trouble too. Some of you young people need to understand there are wrong people out there. Now, I'm serious about that. By the way, the young people would if the parents would help them a little bit. There are some wrong people out there, and there are many wrong places. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, come out from among them and be... Who's the them? Well, it's the ones... We must be hanging around them, or we couldn't come out from among them. It is the world, and the world has nothing for us. And so he not only goes to the wrong place, he goes to the wrong person. And verse 5, you'll notice what he does. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath. Now we see the wrong persuasion. He's talked his parents into going down. Hello? They were grieved, the Bible says in verse 2. They were grieved, the Bible says in verse 3. But he talks them into going down with him. Verse 10 it says, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And his persuasion, you talk about sin, when you take somebody down with you, that is pretty bad, isn't it? Let me tell you something. When you go on your downward trend, if you're a leader, if you're a father, if you're a mother, somebody's following you. Somebody follows you. Children, friends, who knows? Somebody's following you. Next thing we know, Samson, the Bible says in chapter 16 and verse 4, same words used, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman. Notice where? In the valley. And where's the valley? Down. In the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. You talk about down. I mean, he has gone in a downward trend now from the beginning. By the way, in between there, he went to see in chapter 16, verse 1, he went to Gaza and saw an harlot and went in under her, and he's still headed down. And so the wrong place, the wrong person, the wrong persuasion, the harlot is the wrong pleasure. And then you'll notice in verse 4 of chapter 16, he goes to the valley downward to Delilah. And boy, there is the price. And I'm going to tell you, there's always a price when you go down. You get down far enough and that's it. And I'm just saying, it never starts out that way. We always say, well, preacher, you told me not to go there, but it's a fun thing. And that party's going to be great and everybody's going to be there. And it's going to be so fun. And I say, don't go, don't go, don't go. And you say, oh, but it's so fun. I won't do anything. And I always hear it. And then it's a couple weeks later and they say, I did something. And they're in tears. And it's happened over and over and over and over, because in that wrong place is the wrong person and the wrong persuasion and the wrong pleasure, and pretty soon it's the price. And it's a terrible price. It's whether it's the first time you drank liquor, first time you did drugs, you got involved in immorality, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, so many times, sin is a downward way to go. Notice Numbers 20 and verse 15. By the way, he lost his eyes. He lost his freedom, and he lost his life. That's a bad deal, because he went down. Numbers 20, verse 15. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 15. How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. You see that? Our fathers went down into Egypt, and we've dwelt in Egypt a long time, and look at that. The Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. Do you understand? Everything about Egypt and worldliness is down. Everything about worldliness is slavery. That's what happened. They went to Egypt and they became slaves. I'm going to tell you, folks, everything about worldliness is slavery. It is slavery. Now, I don't care. You know, and by the way, I've been a slave just like anybody else. And the shackles visit me sometimes. And they rattle the chains sometimes. And I think, why would I want that? But on the other side, there's always that question. Why came we forth out of Egypt? Which is right out of hell. Why came we forth out of Egypt? It's when you leave church and you say, you know, there is a lot of fun going on out there. I mean, the neighbors are grilling out tonight. And oh, those neighbors, they're in their swimming pool having a good time. And I'm dressed up in a suit going to church. And boy, the garlics and the leeks and the melons. I have some fond memories of Egypt. Yeah, you forgot about the chains and the shackles and the whip on the back. And we forget all that stuff. See, what I remember is kneeling by my bed and asking God to come into my heart and save me. Amen. And the guilt being gone. And boy, you need to hold on to that thing. But you notice here, the Egyptians vexed us. What's vexed me? It's like a spell. And the world puts its spell on us. Do you understand that? It puts its spell on us. We become slaves. It is no wonder that Reformers Unanimous, it's dealing with all kinds of worldly things. We call them addictions. I mean, do you understand the addictions that are going on right here in this room? We're addicted to the world. We are vexed by the world. I don't know how many times I've talked to people who are trying to quit smoking, and I say, well, just get up in the morning and don't smoke. And it's not, preacher, it's not that easy. And I say, well, just don't do it. No, you know, it's not that easy. Alcoholics, well, it's just not that easy. Drug addicts, it's not that easy. People that are addicted to pornography, well, preacher, it's just not that easy. Okay, because we're vexed. By the way, money. We're vexed with money. We're vexed with fame. We're vexed with immorality. We're so vexed with gambling that we have lotteries in our states now. We're so vexed with Egypt. We're vexed with the fashion of this world. I mean, we're vexed with it. We're so vexed with it that adults don't even understand what is immodest. Because fashion says we're supposed to wear skin-tight clothes. We're so vexed with these things that we can't even see straight. And when we read about God's people as they're headed to Canaan and they say, why came we forth out of Egypt? We say, what is wrong with them? They're so worldly. And we're so worldly. Because everything about worldliness is slavery. On their way to Canaan, why came we forth out of Egypt and were vexed with our music? That, do you know that's why Christian rock makes so much money all year? It's because Christians are vexed with the world. Honestly, that is why. And people are taking advantage of it. They know we're vexed and we like it. Just what part of Hotel California do you suppose I might like? The words are satanic. But I promise you, if I wanted it to, it could all come back and I could sing it to you right now. But what part of that is of God? Not of nothing. But see, it's those shackles that just want to get back on my hands. It's those shackles around my ankles and those chains that want to wrap around me. What part of that could any Christian possibly want? What part of satanic rock and the heavy bass and the voodoo-like mesmerizing sound that you hear in the cars as they're jumping across the street as they come by, and yet your body associates with that rhythm and that beat? And what part of that, of you then, could possibly ever want that? Oh, it's your flesh. It's that attachment to Egypt. It's the leeks and the garlics and the melons and the cucumbers and the forgetting the chains and the whip and the hell that God rescued us from. Amen. And every one of us is prone to it. Every one of us has to fight it. But I'm telling you, one way to fight it is say, I cannot come down. And when those old songs, and everywhere you go, all I have to hear is about three notes. And boy, it starts to put that pull on me. And you know, you say, preacher, the kids shouldn't hear that. The kids need to hear this. Because they're hooked on it already. And they didn't hear as much as I did. I'm telling you, it's the old world. It is the fact that we're vexed with Egypt. The fact that we are vexed with the world and we're slaves to the world. And if we don't break away, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And we have got to fight it. And the way to fight it is, I cannot come down. Truth of the matter is, if I go to you were a little slow there, Kayla. If I go there, you know what? They're going to have rock music there. If I go there, they're going to have those old TV shows. If I go there, they're going to have those old movies. If I go there, they're going to have all that old stuff. They'll probably have bell bottoms there too. And they'll probably have peace signs and psychedelic shirts and all that stuff. And listen to me, that kind of thing, it wouldn't be long, I'd be in chains. And I don't want chains anymore. I lived with chains for 17 years. I cannot come down. I cannot come down. I cannot come down. I cannot come down. And then number three, the last thing. Not only can sidetracks lead us down, not only can sin lead us down, but suffering can lead us down. Genesis 12 and verse 10. Genesis 12 and verse 10, and we do not like to suffer. I know people who are out of the ministry today because they just did not want to suffer. By the way, the ministry is not suffering, but there is suffering in it. The ministry, there's nothing like it, nothing greater in all the world. But notice there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. Again, don't go to Egypt, to sojourn. What's sojourn? I'm going to just spend a little time. I'm not going to spend all my life there. I just want to live there a little while. Well, and I have a right to because there's a famine. We're suffering. He said he went down, the Bible says, into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And immediately when he got there, what's the first thing he did? Who knows? Anybody know? He lied. Immediately. Who's this? This is the friend with God. And he went down to Egypt because he was suffering at where he was, and he went down, and immediately, first thing he does is he lies. Why did he lie? Well, it tied right in with why he went to Egypt in the first place. Why did he go? Because of fear, because of a lack of trust, and it was during a tough time. I'm going to tell you, do not fall for it. Do not fall for it. Down is worse off than he was before. And soon he lied. By the way, oh, I can't believe I turned my pages. Go back to Genesis 12. I went back to Nehemiah. But this is so good. Genesis 12 and verse 10. And I don't think these are accidents, to be honest with you. You'll notice there in 12:10, he goes down. Notice chapter 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Listen to me. When he went down, he started lying, and he exposed his family to Egypt. But not until he goes up do things get better. But I'm going to tell you this, and you may have this all figured out. Well, we're just going down for a little while. We're just going to compromise a little bit. I'm just going to start working during church a little bit. I'm just going to take my family out of church for a little while. Well, I'm just going to do this for a while. I'm not. This isn't my plan. And you may end up going back up. But you better understand the stink that you took with you from Egypt. Amen. Right. And he exposed young Lot. His nephew Lot. To Egypt. Yeah, things got better for Abraham. But his nephew Lot was affected by Egypt. And he picked up the selfishness and the fame and the worldliness of Egypt and transferred it to his love for Sodom and Gomorrah. There is a cost when you go down. And you may think, well, I'm going to go down and I'm not going to suffer. You're going to pay a price to avoid the suffering that God may have for you to make you what you need to be. We have Bible college experiences that, I've shared many of them from the pulpit, but there are so many times we had nothing left, and it was the best thing for us. There were many times, there were opportunities. Hey, listen, if you'll take this job, now you're going to have to drop out of college. I said, I cannot drop out of college. I will not drop out of college. Well, then you're going to have to work at the hardware store, making $5 an hour. You're going to have to keep doing this, making the little amount. You can make bigger money, but you're going to have to cut back your hour. I cannot come down. And God gave us some of the most precious memories of our lives because we didn't come down. Oh, I thank God to this day for some of those hard times. Some of those times we had to get on our knees and beg God for food. That time there was a knock at the door and a sack of groceries on the doorstep. I wouldn't trade anything for that. I wouldn't trade anything for those times. Open up my little post office box and there being a $10 bill in there. Wouldn't trade anything. Wouldn't trade anything for the coming out of chapel and open up the door of the Pacer. You remember Pacers, don't you? It looked like a pregnant roller skate. And I remember opening up the door and there'd be loaves of bread all over the car. And those little muffin things, we turned them into pizzas. Little flat muffin thing, and my wife would take tomato, whatever that stuff is, and smear it on there, and ketchup, and anything red she had. And I'm serious, that's all we had. She'd smear it on there, throw it in the oven, bake it, and that was pizza. Glory to God. good stuff. The time she snuck in squash, and I thought it was sweet potatoes. I was so excited. I said, Brent, I don't know how you did it, but this is wonderful, these sweet potatoes. She said, do you like it? I said, yeah. She set me up, said, it's squash. I said, I don't like squash. She said, you did. I wouldn't trade it for anything, folks, I'm telling you. There's nothing like that in all the world. You're going to try to avoid something God has for you, and you're going to go down to avoid it. You're headed for a rocky road. You know what you need? You need to go ahead and go to the Red Sea. I know it looks like it's impossible, but God is going to part that thing. And if you go down, you go back to Egypt, you're a slave, you're a servant, you get nothing, you're in chains. You're better off. Just go ahead where God said to go. It's the best thing. I cannot go down to avoid suffering. Hey, would you be like Abraham? To avoid suffering, would you lie? Would you lie? Would you lie to the IRS? You know what? It never works. It's not going to work. Okay, if you lie, oh God, bless my lie. Didn't work for Abraham. Would you cheat to avoid suffering? Hey, would you steal? I know we compromise to avoid suffering. Huh? We compromise all the time to avoid suffering. That's why we try to keep up with the fashion of the world, because we don't want to suffer, be made fun of. We want to be cool. Would you compromise? Just consider the price. Huh? So many times I'll have a young person say, but preacher, it's just too hard. It's just too hard to do right. It's too hard, and I'm suffering, and you know, the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Not the way of the godly. Consider the price. People often will leave a good church because they're made fun of. And now they believe nothing. Sidetrack, sin, suffering. Tonight I beg you to consider the work and decide, I cannot come down. Just like Nehemiah said, I cannot come down. I want to close with this thought. I've been thinking about it all week long. Thank God Jesus didn't come down. He could have. You know what they said as he hung on the cross? He saved others. Himself he could not save. We could have saved himself. But had he saved himself, others would have all gone to hell. He could have come down at any time. He could have. The first lash from the cat of nine tails that ripped across his back, the first fist that punched him across the face, the first rod that cracked across his skull, the first time as they took the crown of thorns and stuck it down and the thorns bore down past his skin into his skull. First time they did that, he could have stopped any time he could have stopped it. As they piously passed sentence on him, he could have said, stop. But he didn't. And they nailed him to the cross. And he still could have come down. But he didn't. Because if he saved himself, then we would have been lost. How many people will be lost if you come down? How many lives will be affected if you come down? Bus captain, what if you come down? College student, what if you come down? High school student, what if you come down? How many people watch you? How many lives will be affected? How many people will be lost if you come down? How many if you stay down? Because once you go down, so many times you stay down. Let's all bow our heads, please.